Our second reading this morning comes from the first letter of John. This is a letter that was written to the church by the Apostle John, or perhaps one of his followers or students. He wants the Christian community to take seriously the idea of love in action, just as Jesus, who is the foundation of our faith, was the manifestation of love in action. This is from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24, and it can be found at page 1901 in the Pew Bible. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and we will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. This is the word of the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of each of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our Redeemer. This morning's reading from 1 John instructs us to lay down our lives for one another, just as Christ did for us. And this surely is a noble ideal. We all love a good story of sacrificial love, of someone giving up their life or all of their possessions for another person. In The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the great lion Aslan lays down his life for the sake of all. In the Harry Potter series, Harry is constantly making sacrifices for the good of his loved ones, and in the end, he even offers up his own life. In the classic Christmas story, The Gift of the Magi, we hear of a married couple who has no money to buy one another Christmas gifts. The husband, in order to afford a gift for his beloved, sells his pocket watch, a family heirloom, in order to afford for his wife a beautiful comb for her hair. The wife, so as to afford a gift for her beloved, sells her long, beautiful hair to a local wig maker in order to buy a new chain for her husband's prized watch. These stories stick with us because of the sacrificial love that we read in them. Long have we in the church recorded the brave deeds of missionaries and martyrs. We even make holidays in their names. We put up on pedestals those who live a radically different life for the word of God. When we think of sacrifice like this, we think of those martyrs and missionaries. It's great in theory, and it works in practice for some people, but for the rest of us, a few dollars in the offering plate every week or every other week is plenty, right? I've long had a sour taste in my mouth for those old commercials for child sponsorship programs. You probably know the ones. For just the price of a cup of coffee per day or per week, you can feed a child. I don't have a problem with child sponsorship programs. I'm generally in favor of them, but what I have a problem with is the idea that all it takes to be a loving person is to give up a cup of coffee every now and again. As a few dollars in the offering plate or the price of a cup of coffee, a tiny portion of the amount we live off of, a sacrifice? For some people, a few dollars is a sacrifice, but for others of us, it certainly is not. Are a few hours a week or a few moments a week devoted to church activities really a sacrifice, or are they just given to make us feel better about doing our duty? Again, for some, a few hours may be a genuine sacrifice, but for many, it is not. It's difficult to get a grasp, a real grasp, on this idea of sacrificial love, of laying down our lives for others, in a culture where, in spite of economic recessions and changes, we are ridiculously wealthy by the standards of most of the world. It's hard to get a grip on what this means when we live in pretty safe homes. It's hard to define sacrificial life when it's almost entirely unlikely that any of us in this room will ever serve as a martyr for the gospel or lay down our life for another person. We might, but around here, that's a big might. 1 John says that sacrificing should be an everyday thing. It shouldn't just be associated with being a missionary or a revolutionary. We shouldn't just say it's fine for David Livingston or Mother Teresa or Martin Luther King Jr., but I'll never be asked to do that. Sacrifice is meant to be an ethic for all Christians, not just some group of super Christians. The passage doesn't say we should hold in high regard the idea of sacrificial love. It says we ought to lay down our lives for others. This isn't an ideal, it's a charge. This is something that all Christians, John says, can and should do. It's not some unattainable ideal for us to put up on a shelf and look at and say, isn't that pretty? It's not some vintage toy that we gawk at in the box but never take down to play with. The passage doesn't say, tell nice stories of sacrificial love. In fact, it says, stop talking and do it. Don't just say, Jesus died for you and that's why Christianity is awesome. Show the love that sent Jesus to the cross. Be that love in the world. John even goes so far as to ask his readers, how can you say that you have the love of God in you when you're all talk and no action? How can you claim to have the love of Jesus in your heart, but ignore the needs of the people around you? John says, put your money where your mouth is. Don't just talk the talk, walk the walk. He says to us that if we aren't living lives of sacrificial love, we haven't really understood the gospel at all. Just before this passage, John says that those of us who don't really love one another are living in death. Loving one another is to turn away from a life lived in the shadow of death in order to live in the light of Christ. And here John says that the only way to truly love is to act sacrificially, just as God did in Jesus. Sacrificial love is not always about selling all of your possessions, moving off to a far-off land, or physically dying for another person. You don't have to give up a kidney to be a sacrificial Christian. You see, the key here is in let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. If we talk pretty words, even biblical, lovely, angelic words, but don't back them up with love, the Bible says we're no better than the sound of a gong. We're just noise. Action is how others can see the love of God in the actor and how they know those words mean something. If you've ever been separated from a loved one by physical death, which most of us probably have, you might have experienced this in a way. People say many things to grieving families and friends. Sometimes their words feel nice. Sometimes their words don't feel so nice. But very rarely do we remember exactly the words that people say to us in those times of grief. Not unless the words are really, really wise or really, really awful. What stands out in those moments are their presence, the sacrifice of their time. We remember who brought us food, sacrifice of time and resources. We remember who was there with us with a hug. We remember who sat there for a very, very long time and just listened to us mourn. That's what John is getting at here. Words are cheap, and love is cheapened when we reduce it to nice words. But real love is bigger than that. Love is powerful. The Bible says God is love. And in showing sacrificial love, we can give meaning, reality, meat, flesh, and bones to the gospel that we say with our words. Sacrifice, giving up our lives, means giving up the control over our stuff and our actions. Sometimes that does look like being a missionary called to a dangerous place, where it is very literally dangerous to take the gospel to other people. And sometimes that does mean selling everything or quitting a stable and well-paying job to start a new mission or ministry. But it's not usually that apparently dramatic or drastic. There's a great deal of meaning in the compilation of a lot of small sacrifices day after day. Sacrificial love sits next to a Muslim woman who's being harassed on the bus because of her attire. It looks out for a person in a dangerous or humiliating situation with no regard for its own safety or dignity. Sacrificial love looks the homeless man in the eye and says, "Hello, God bless you, dear brother." It upholds the dignity of other people, sets aside our earthly claims of status and says, "We're all just people here." It welcomes the unwelcome, and it loves those the world calls unlovable, treating them all as beloved children of God. Sacrificial love stops and takes the time to listen to a distressed brother or sister, no matter how much else is on the calendar that day. It sets aside the constraints of calendars and clocks and the false importance that comes with being busy, and it puts others first. Sacrificial love serves others no matter what their beliefs or background or ethnicity or lifestyle is. There are no conditions on this love. Sacrificial does not refuse anyone love or service or gospel or hope because of who they are and what they believe. It stands up for Jews and Muslims in refugee camps and prison camps and war zones just as readily as it stands up for Christians in prison camps and refugee camps and war zones. Sacrificial love gives more than the bare minimum dollar amount to help keep the church and other charities doing what they do. It doesn't set some artificial percentage or dollar amount of "this should cover me" to financial giving. But it gives above and beyond what seems reasonable or normal. Sacrificial love looks out not just for family and friends, but for all of those around. In fact, it especially serves and protects those that seem the most unlikely or undeserving. Sacrificial love turns from a life lived in the shadow of death, in the shallow waters of empty words, in the false doctrine of giving enough, and it embraces the truly loving life of sacrifice. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need and yet refuses help? Friends, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Amen.